Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. This is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit, Performance and Wellness, and Global Schoolwear by Tommy Hilfiger. We got a great doubleheader today. We've got a Yankee flair to it. Dr. Chris Ahmad is the team doctor, orthopedic surgeon for the Yankees. He is a author of a great book, Skill. He's a professor of clinical orthopedics at Columbia University. He's returning along with Lindsay Berra. She's a health and fitness writer. She's a reporter. She's a broadcaster. She is a multi-platform storyteller. And also, by the way, she's Yogi Berra's granddaughter, and she's a board member of the fantastic Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center in New Jersey. First, let's welcome back Team Doc, Dr. Chris. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Dr. Bob. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Great. You know, how's it going, man? The season's on, you know, in between all the mayhem, and here you guys are. It's how's it going, man?
Well, just like the players, I couldn't be more happy for this season to be active with everything we've been through with COVID. And so the protocols are in place, and it's great to see the players out there. And as you know, I'm busy because when you're playing baseball, injuries happen. And it's not just for the Yankees. I saw patients today, and yeah, the college kids and the high school kids, they're still having baseball injuries. So I'm thankful that baseball's back, but I also know with baseball comes these injuries that we have to take care of.
Oh, yes, and of course, even though you grew up as a serious soccer player on Long Island, you played in college, got involved in some national play, and I think it gave you tremendous understanding and excitement about youth sports. And, of course, at the highest level, at the professional level, that's an incredible challenge that we talk about a lot on the Sports Doctor, dealing with multi-million dollar players and multi-billion dollar organizations. And Doc, you told me I'd be better tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and taking those kinds of pressures and understanding what a big deal it is, like you just mentioned off the top, the problem with youth sports and overdoing it and overuse injuries. It's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, because there's an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries. And one of the biggest, of course, is arms and elbows and shoulders with kids, isn't it?
Bob, I read your book. Congratulations. And it's really fabulous. It has a great message, and that is when the youth are watching major league players throw 100 miles an hour, they have expectations that they have to throw as hard as they can to get there. And so emulating the professional players is what gets these youth athletes in trouble. They are trying to become professionals too early in their career. So they train harder, they attempt to throw harder, and it's everything from throwing curveballs and sliders at young ages to try and top the velocity radar guns.
Well, you know, it's amazing, like everything else in athletics. You know, 25 years ago, there was one guy in the world who threw 95 miles an hour, probably, or higher, the Nolan Ryans. And, today there's five guys on each team. So the challenge of the athleticism of some of these players, and, of course, with the shoulders, with all that tremendous velocity, it's no wonder that it's such a challenge. What shocked me, and you've written about it, was the famous Tommy John surgery which you are an expert in, all of a sudden it was like 20% of them were being done on teenagers. Is that crazy or what?
I saw patients today, as I already said, Bob, and three of the patients I saw in the afternoon were college baseball players who injured their ligaments and their UCL, and they need Tommy John surgery. So it's not only in the professional athletes, it's in the colleges now, especially during this time that we're seeing it, and also the high school kids. And it is unfortunate, but Tommy John surgery, while we know that it has a reasonable success rate, what some of the kids and parents don't understand is it's a year-long recovery, and it's hard, both physically and emotionally. When you're out of baseball for a full year, it really taxes your identity. You lose a sense of relationship with your teammates. And so going through it can impact you psychologically just as much as it impacts you physically.
Oh, yes. You know, the mental game is something that I've paid such attention to easily the past 25 years, give or take a few weeks, on the Sports Doctor. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you are their coach, whether it's you, the pressures are immense. The pressures to play hurt, the pressures of schedules, you know, all of these things. It's amazing, Dr. Chris, how the awareness has grown dramatically. There's so many great organizations. And when you're the chief of the adolescent and pediatric sports medicine and research, then again, you're in the middle of all of this. And education is such a key. And that's why I always ask team physicians, even though I know you have experts on your team in the field, but I still got to ask you how your sports psychology skills are.
Well, you're right. It takes a lot of empathy. And if you've played sports prior to your profession, you know this, Dr. Bob, you know what it feels like to be hurt. And I was hurt several times as an athlete, and that's what made me want to dedicate my career to preserving athletes' dreams, especially the young athletes and, of course, the higher-level professional athletes.
Yeah, the one out of millions that end up, you know, in a pro sport. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back years with so many incredible guests, with endless array of topics. Listen to whatever you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read about so many different things you've been involved with, the excitement of the new MVP Parent magazine that I'm very, very involved with, Lower Extremity Review, which is one of the leaders in the field, so many different articles and magazines. And one of my still most famous is my article on, it's called Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. You could follow us on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. LinkedIn also. But at Sports Doc, DOC Radio, we're talking with New York Yankees team physician, Dr. Christopher Ahmad. And, you know, when you talk about all of these, the things that it takes to become a great athlete, and the idea that, you know, parents need to be so educated, coaches need to be so educated over the fact that, you know, some of these repetitive motion injuries, and I know you've written a lot about trying to get kids, I agree with you 100%, trying to get kids to play all sorts of different sports as they grow up, and, you know, that's great unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater, right?
Hey, you're right, Dr. Bob, and guys like Derek Jeter, they played basketball in high school, and at every spring training, when I meet a new player who's joined the Yankees, or if it's a new signing, somebody coming in, I ask them if they've played multiple sports in high school, and some of them have, and some of them still do. And in one spring training, I looked at all the pitchers who have had Tommy John surgery and all the pitchers who did not. The ones who did not more often played multiple sports in high school, and the ones who did not play multiple sports in high school, they had three times the chance of having had Tommy John surgery, and even more times being shut down as a kid because of elbow injuries. So playing multiple sports doesn't mean you won't make it to the higher level. It probably means you'll make it to the higher level with less chance of injury.
Yes, that's what's always been amazing. You know, I was amazed 80% of the Women's World Cup soccer team, and soccer is one of the prodigy sports. You know, my chapter in the book, Chris, where I talk about the prodigy sports, you know, whether we like it or not, the figure skater, I have four top 10-year-olds that I'm so excited about. They're all doing doubles. And what's amazing is my young, the guy I still brag about, we just passed the 10th anniversary, Evan Lysacek, the gold medalist, grew up here in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when we put orthotics in his skates, doing double and triple jumps. So there are some specific sports where we've got to pay attention to this is all that they want to do, even if we tell them all day. But absolutely, it makes so much sense to play lots of different sports. You know, the book you wrote, Skill, where you talk about all of these characteristics, elite performers, there's got to be an endless array of comparisons. I thought it was terrific to the world of sports. And as you share those kinds of skills, no matter what it is people are doing in their lives.
You know what I enjoyed about writing the book? It was taking analogies from the people that I'd been exposed to. Let's just talk about Yankee players. I'm now in my 12th year as the team physician. I've observed some of the greatest Yankee players from Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera, and Andy Pettit. And I had a chance to observe how they prepared for games, what their regimens were. And the way top athletes get really good and perform well, it's not that much different than what surgeons do, what you and I do, and anybody in their field, whether it's being a writer. You have to approach your task with a certain mentality and training regimen, and you have to develop a confidence and a method of executing that I took all of these general principles that pertain to every sport, and I threw it in the book with lots of good anecdotes about what it was like to deal with some of these top performers.
You know, it's interesting. Over the years, I've had some of the top sports trainers, starting with my mentor, the great Bob Guida, who every time I turn around, if it wasn't John McEnroe, it was Walter Payton, the 85 Super Bowl Bears. I'm dating myself a little bit here. So many different sports trainers. And it was interesting. We had an opinion by one of the best, because we would have a contest once or twice a year, Dr. Chris, about what sports require the best athlete. It's a great topic. And he said the best athletes I've ever seen are the baseball players. And he's worked with Olympians. He's worked with all sorts of different sports. And I was amazed, not that they're not great athletes, but that they're the best athletes, in his opinion. By the way, Chris, where do they get the book? What's the best website or information for you and the million things you do, the Yankees, in the book?
www.drchrisamah.com, and on my website I'd have information about baseball injuries, and I also have a section on the skill book, and you can find it on amazon.com. So you can either go straight to Amazon or you go to my website. It's a wonderful read. It's a great graduation gift. In fact, I gave my high school out in Comac, I gave all the graduates last year a copy of my book, knowing that they were dealing with COVID that compromised their real graduation. So it's something that the kids really like to read about because they're evolving their skill.
Yes. You know, are you still involved in the charity with the crutches, Dr. Chris, you and your wife, where you talked about...
Crutches for kids is a very cool thing. We're very much still involved with it. The crutch situation is that... We have too many crutches in this world that sit in our closets after we've used them. And rather than throw them out, there's an opportunity to get them to people in other countries that don't have access to crutches. And they can change whether a kid goes to school or not. And that changes their education and that changes their life. So the simple thing of donating your crutches, and we also have a website, Crutches for Kids. It's C and then 4 and then Kids. you can learn about how you can donate crutches if you have any laying around.
I have a terrific idea, that is. Who of us hasn't had crutches laying around at some point in time? And they're probably still in people's garages and whatever, because you never know really when you need it. But at the same time, the idea that they could be donated, and there is such a tremendous need. Is your focus right for kids? What ages?
It's all ages. You know, in the pediatric crutches, the small crutches, they're the hardest to get. And they're actually the most in demand because they are the hardest to get. So,
you know, one of the good things about this, there's a silver lining in a crazy way about crutches with athletes who are rehabbing or whatever. And we would say, you know, just think of the upper body workout you're going to get. And anybody who's ever been on crutches absolutely knows, man. I would just tell people all the time, learn what you're doing. Make sure that you know how to properly use crutches. To say the least,
it's very humbling. If you've been fortunate enough not to need them, that's great. But if you have, you know what we're talking about. If you have to start using crutches, even if you're athletic, it doesn't come easy. You got to learn how to use them.
You know, the mental last minute or so. Everybody I've talked to around the world, wherever it is, wherever the sport is, wherever their vocation. We talk about the biggest challenge has been mental health. No matter what you do, no matter what sport you're in, no matter what level, you know, high school, this, that, or the other, school, being in, being out, the fear of all of this. Have you found that the players and the organizations, for example, really have set some great examples as far as, you know, facing and paying attention to this? I got to congratulate you, Chris.
You know, the mental side you mentioned before about baseball players being the best athletes, they're not just physically great athletes, but mentally they have an edge over athletes.
Wow, I'm going to leave it at that. Give me the website again, people could find out about you and the book.
www.drchrisamad.com, and that you'll find all kinds of information on baseball health. And also links to my book and examples and little videos.
Great.
About the book and Amazon.com.
Great. Hold on, Chris. Sports Doctor. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. everybody. Live from Chicago, we're back. It's the Sports Doctor with our Yankee Slayer show. I want to welcome back Lindsay Vera. Lindsay's a health and fitness writer. She's a reporter and a broadcaster. She is a storyteller. She's a multi-platform storyteller. And also, as claim to fame, she's Yogi Berra's granddaughter, and she's a board member of his fascinating Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center. And by the way, our first guest, Dr. Chris, said he wanted to thank you for giving him a tour. So, Lindsay Vera, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks for having me. I'm sad I missed Dr. Chris there.
Yes. Well, again, you know, the fact that they've been able to start, you know that, you're in the middle of it. The fact that the professional sports, they've been able to get back and start with all the mayhem and the tremendous pressure on all of us, you know, it's so far so good. Right.
Yeah, it is looking really good. There still are some crazy things happening, though. This whole situation that we just had with the Vancouver Canucks, I think 17 players were on the COVID protocol with the Brazilian variant. That was completely nuts
and a little bit sobering. Yeah.
Hopefully that, you know, it doesn't happen again, you know?
No, I think, you know, honestly, we needed to wait another 3-4 months. Jumping back in, it's really concerning. But we'll see. We're all rooting for ourselves. I consider this mankind's greatest challenge is how are we going to return to normalcy? And what does that even mean? You know?
Yeah. I love how we're all claiming that we were normal before, because I don't make that claim.
Great point. That's a great point. You know, you, of course, have grown up in sports. You mentioned, you know, you had a health fitness injury niche. You've written for ESPN, Men's Health Magazine. As a matter of fact, that's where I ran into Lindsay.
Doing a show, or rather writing an article about
frequent guest of mine, Gary Reinel, the anti-ice man. And I had a contact that she wrote this great article in Men's Health. So what are you involved in now, Lindsay?
So the bulk of my time right now is spent doing two things. First, I'm working with the pitching coach, Tom House, who was a pitcher in the big leagues for a number of years. He's actually famous for catching Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run in the bullpen in Atlanta. But he has 40 years of motion capture analyses of professional pitchers that he has used to build an AI-driven pitching biomechanics app. And the app is in beta testing, and I'm doing all kinds of content for the app, the website, their social media on pitching biomechanics. It's called
Dr.
Mustard.
And
you can check it out.
Yeah, Dr. Chris and I were talking in the first segment, and you know the emphasis on the sports doctor with youth sports and the prevention of youth sports injuries. And arm problems are, of course, famous. It's as big a problem today as it's ever been. The idea of all these overuses. We were talking about how Tommy John surgery is done 20% of the time on adolescents. It's way out of line. It's why I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries. So the scientists, pitchers, your associate, who is it you're working with again?
Tom House.
Right, Tom House. Coming up with new tools to try to stay safe, to try to enhance performance, but prevent injury. Are you impressed?
Oh yeah. What's going on with the app is terrific. But I think even more than that, I think Tom encourages kids to play multiple sports, to not only play baseball. The point that he always makes is that most Hall of Famers, most people who make the big leagues, were actually late bloomers. Being the best 12-year-old is wonderful, but most of the kids who end up being really good don't get really good until they grow into their bodies at 16 or 17. So being a great 12-year-old is kind of irrelevant, and that's when a lot of those overuse injuries really begin. And that's really a problem with the parents, not with the kids. So yes. there's a lot to take into account
yes.
that has nothing
now, again,
to do with the arm.
Yes, I always bring up when we talk about these important subjects, the one chapter in my book that I call The Prodigy Sports. You know, I've been dealing with figure skaters for 40 years. I have a talented group of 4 10-year-olds, Lindsay, who are all doing double jumps. It's all very exciting. It's a big deal. That's when I put orthotics in the Olympic champion Evan Lysacek skates when he was 10. My point mm-hmm. is that figure skating, we don't want to play any other sports, Dr. Weil, no matter what you tell me, or gymnastics and other sports. So sometimes we'll see that there are sports, and then we try to pay as much attention as we can to getting trainers and therapists and everybody involved, even programs like you're talking about, to do the best we can to try to, you know, prevent injuries. But there is that niche, and I've been involved with it all these years. I just gave it a name, Prodigy Sports. And we're seeing
yeah.
tennis, of course, and soccer, where, again, you're going to see, and like you mentioned, the magic word, the parents, which is, you know, sometimes they really, really need to be educated. Yeah. As you go up the ladder.
I do think those sports that you mentioned are certainly a little bit of a special case, because it is possible as a figure skater, as a gymnast, to be an Olympian at the age of 16 or 17. It's really
True.
Not possible to make the big leagues in baseball at that age. So they're
point.
On a little bit of a different schedule. And I think that, you know, be this a good thing or a bad thing, the folks who have been involved with those sports for a long time sort of take into account the developing bodies and they're used to training that level of kid. But everybody's, like, window of trainability and development rate is different. And, you know, some of the kids who do really great in those sports might be a little bit further along or a little bit behind and be smaller. Like the gymnast, they say the little ones fly, you know, but it's a little bit different thing than baseball or basketball or some of the other team sports.
Yes, it was one of the contests we had with the LSQ over the years on the Sports Doctor. We would say, what's more difficult, to become a professional athlete or an Olympian? What do you think, Lindsay?
I think that given the chance that only comes around once every 4 years, I would think it would be more difficult to become an Olympian, especially because when you look at Team USA gymnastics, they take 6 people a year. There are several hundred professional baseball players in the major leagues. Just from a strict numbers game, it's more difficult to be an Olympian.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. The other question I would have, I'll also throw it at you, Lindsay, which was which sports require the best athletes?
Well, this is actually funny. I covered tennis for 13 years at ESPN Magazine, and I was constantly amazed.
One of our top choices.
What other athletes at the peak of their sport are asked to play such group? Like, a good marathoner runs a marathon in 2 hours and 15 minutes. Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer are playing 5.5-hour matches,
exactly.
Right, on clay, yeah. Like abusing the heck out of their bodies. I was always incredibly impressed with the athletic abilities
of tennis
players.
I'll tell you some
of
the interesting sports that we had some great answers on. A defensive back in football, tennis, NBA or basketball player, soccer, water polo.
Yep.
And because I had the contest,
because
I had the contest starting after my young athlete won the Olympic gold medal, I absolutely included figure skating. Lindsay.
Olympic sport that I was always very impressed with, I covered a Winter Olympic Games for ESPN, or two of them actually, was the biathletes, those cross-country skiers
yes.
who sprint up a hill and then have milliseconds to settle their heart rate to be able to shoot and hit a target without their heart rate creating bounce
yes.
in the shot. And that I was always incredibly impressed with. Like, you know,
which,
most of us sprint up a hill,
which
you can't
Olympics
bend over
you
entire
at?
Shoes.
Were you in Vancouver?
I covered Torino, Beijing, and Vancouver.
Ah, and you were there when Lysacek won the Winter Games.
I was, yeah.
Yes, really, that was such an exciting. You know, you might live 20 lifetimes as a doc and never come across. It was amazing. You know, all these tremendous titles, world champion, national champion, tremendous, tremendous titles, whatever the sport is. But there ain't nothing like an Olympic gold medalist. Was an amazing experience to watch, you know, some of that stuff. And I'll tell you something, because I know it's a big topic of yours. When we've talked about parents and whose goal is it, and very pushy parents and all these things, after Evan won the Olympics, the week after, it's on my website, go back 10 years on the radio show, I asked his mom, Tanya, how did you know whose goal it was? You pushing him? Was it yours? She said, you know, Dr. Bob, he had ice time at 6:20 in the morning, and I never had to wake him up. You know,
yep.
There he was in the car with his gloves on. Come on, Mom. And I said, yep. You know, in all the years I talked to great people, I never came up with a better answer than that. When we're dealing with the $20 billion a year youth sports business, and this is why we've become so challenged with whether it's these youngsters living on over-the-counter anti-inflammatory medicines because the schedule is killing them, or they're dealing with injuries, or some of these other problems with overzealous, I call them Svengali coaches, and we've sure experienced some of that stuff in sports. So it's a tremendous topic, and it's very, very challenging. Because I did say, Lindsay, and I'm going to ask your opinion, when I said there was an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, I said it's both physical and mental.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely physical and mental. And you think about how many kids you meet that are so stressed out by the weight of expectations put on them, and because of that, they get so attached to the outcome of their sports contest as opposed to enjoying the process of getting better at it, that can be a major mental health issue.
Yes, we talk with so many fantastic organizations. I'm a sports doctor, the National Alliance of Youth Sports, working with parents in sports in England, iSport 360, and people are paying attention to trying to the kids still have fun. They are paying attention to including that important thing involving that kids are enjoying themselves. Lindsay, quickly, before they do, we'll have a division. What's the best site people could find about you and all your different works and articles?
Probably the easiest thing to do is to follow me on Twitter. That's where I post most of my news stuff, and it's just at Lindsay Berra, my name. And with regard to all of the things going on at my grandfather's museum, the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center, you can follow on Twitter and Instagram at Yogi Berra Museum, or you can visit yogiberramuseum.org.
Yes, we're going to talk about the museum. Everybody, it's a sports doc. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. We're back live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. It's the Sports Doctor. We are talking with Lindsay Berra, a freelance writer, health and fitness writer, a storyteller. And we were talking about Grandpa Yogi Berra's museum. Tell us about the museum, Lindsay.
The museum opened up in 1998 or 9. I always mess it up. So it's been around for over 20 years now. It's on the campus of Montclair State University here in New Jersey. It's about 20 minutes west of New York City, real easy to visit. We do have a lot of really cool stuff in the museum, World Series rings and MVP plaques and you know, game-used bats from lots of Hall of Famers. And it's all definitely cool to look at and touch. But more importantly, what we do at the museum is we have a variety of educational programs based on my grandfather's values that we used to teach in person and hope to someday resume teaching in person. But they've all been brought into the virtual world now for COVID. And
that's
what
in the name, too, isn't
actually,
it, Lindsay?
Yeah,
that's the name of the museum, is the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center.
Yes, the Learning Center is the most important part. Our programs are built about Grandpa's values, diversity, inclusion, excellence. Education was very important.
How about his quotes?
And yeah, well, so we also have a spoken word capsule that we do based on Grandpa's yogiisms, where the kids write their own poetry.
Oh my
but
God!
But the pandemic,
that's just
the
famous yogiisms.
The blessing of the pandemic has been our ability to bring these programs to kids all over the country as opposed to just in the tri-state area. And additionally, because a lot of field trips are nixed because of the expense of busing, once the virtual capsules were available, we had tons of schools reaching out.
So we're doing a lot of schools in New York
and New Jersey. And then we have schools from St. Louis, my grandpa's hometown, from Houston, where he managed, some schools in Louisiana, because grandpa's good friend Ron Guidry, Louisiana Lightning, Yankees pitcher, his daughter is a teacher in Louisiana, so we've done a lot with her school district. But it's been really cool. You can check out the museum website, yogiberramuseum.org, and see a lot of the great stuff that we're doing with online kids programs. Really cool.
You know, I saw your grandpa play quite a few times, definitely a lot on television. And my two really amazing memories is one, he's jumping into the arms of Darren Lawson with his perfect game in the World Series.
Yep.
I remember that tremendous. And the other was that your grandpa was truly one of the great, great clutch hitters. He just was a tough out. And that was just something that he was on a million World Series teams when I was growing up. That the Yankees always won. It was unbelievable. Those two, Mickey Mantle and really all of these great players. But I remember him as a baseball player and as a catcher, really truly one of the greatest ever.
I really firmly believe that as well, and it's one of the things I talk about at the museum. I want people to remember what a great player he was, because I think a lot of his yogiisms have kind of overshadowed his skill on the field. But he's an 18-time All-Star, a 10-time World Series champ. You know, in 1950, he had 656 plate appearances. He struck out 12 times in the entire year. You know, he was catching day-night doubleheaders all the time. He caught 18 innings 117 times in his career.
When you think about it,
durable.
Yeah, I don't remember him. I don't remember Grandpa being injured all that often, if at all.
No. He was literally never hurt. I want people to remember that he was a great baseball player, but I do, even more importantly, want them to remember that he was a better human. That's what we do at the museum.
Did you ever cross paths with Lou Vickery?
I'm not sure I have.
Yeah, Lou Vickery, who pitched. Lou Vickery's pitching coach was Whitey Ford back down in the 60s. And Lou's written a million books. He's been a long, long, long baseball guy. And I thought that you might have crossed paths with him with some of those great Yankees.
Someone that my dad would have known, because my father, because he spent, you know, obviously more time around the team with Grandpa than I did.
Yeah, he might have caught him
too young.
Right. But his tremendous values, which have meant so much to you, and the idea that you're adding big time the Learning Center, the whole educational side of things. And you mentioned something really, really pertinent. You said if there was a silver lining to the pandemic that you somehow had to find, it was the idea that you could have so much more exposure into the virtual world What are some of the things that the Learning Center is paying attention to that you're trying to share with the kids?
Right now, honestly, this could not have been more timely. We got an exhibit on loan about a year and a half ago from the Negro Leagues Museum in Kansas City. It's called Discover Greatness, and it's on the history of the Negro Leagues. And using that exhibit, we teach the kids, A, about the existence of the Negro Leagues, because most of them can't believe that black people and white people didn't play together all the time.
And we
use that to teach about the history of racism in sports. And it is amazing to see the kids, without even us prompting them, make the connections to racism in society and the things that are going on today. And, you know, during COVID, we were already teaching this Discover Greatness program about the Negro Leagues and the Civil Rights Movement and the history of racism in sports. And then we had Breonna Taylor and George Floyd happen, and it was so prescient, and the kids were making those connections by themselves. We don't realize how smart our young people are and how much they absorb, and that's something I've been learning from them through this whole pandemic, you know, through our teaching that Negro Leagues exhibit. We also have a STEM program that we teach the kids science and math through baseball. We have them learning about the pitching delivery and measuring their stride and comparing it to their heights and learning about the transfer of energy up the kinetic chain of the body. So we're doing a lot of really good stuff.
Are you paying attention to foot mechanics, Lindsay?
We don't have a specific
Are you paying attention to what shoes these kids are in?
Oh, I can't always see their feet on the computer. I would bet most of them, as they're doing virtual learning, are probably barefoot, which is probably good for them.
Yes, hanging around in their flip flops. Now you're a storyteller.
I do my best. I try.
Right.
It's becoming hard. I'm sorry,
How would you describe being a storyteller?
I just have always really enjoyed telling stories about how an individual person got from point A to point B, because nobody's path is the same, and everybody comes from a different spot and through a different set of circumstances with different things that they have to overcome. And I think that through telling those stories, you're able to touch a lot of people, because there's always someone who can relate to those stories and draw inspiration from it. So as a sports writer, like, I've never been super concerned with, though, the Yankees won 7-5 last night. I've always more wanted to tell the stories about where those athletes came from, how they grew up, how they got to the big leagues, what their mindset is, their mentality, what their parents were like, because I think it just makes
Lindsay, I need another show with you. Lindsay, give me the website where they could find out about you and the museum again, please.
So my Twitter is at Lindsay Berra, and that's where I post most of my stories and news-type information. The museum is at Yogi Berra Museum on Twitter and Instagram, and yogiberramuseum.org on the web.
Fab. Lindsay, hold on quickly. Everybody will be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline,
collaborative care for better outcomes says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. What a dynamite show. Team Doctor Yankees, Yogi Berra's granddaughter. Let's see how we match that the upcoming weeks. That's what we talk about on the Sports Doctors In. We answer some emails and we preview some upcoming shows. Next week, Donnie Makower. He is the creator, CEO of RDCO Superfoods. You know how much attention we pay to nutrition on the Sports Doctor, so we'll look forward to his segment. And then, since she was a young superstar figure skater, I've known Madeline Stamen. I think we put orthotics in her skates when she was 10. She went on to skate with the cruise ships with some of the shows on ice, and she co-starred in Crystal, the fantastic Cirque du Soleil ice show, I think she's teaching some figure skating now. I'm looking forward to her coming on following week from Australia. From London. Let me get it straight. Justin Blake is a sports podiatrist there. He's also a podcast host. I was on his video show last month, so I'm looking forward to him joining me. And then a gal who changed her life around through the inclusion of exercise and true vim and vigor. Jennifer Bishop is one of our famous friend Forbes Riley's inner circle participants. So we're looking forward to those next couple of shows. I do have some few emails here. Where am I? There it is. Ian, both my teens, 13 and 15-year-old boy and girl, play multiple sports. Please talk about your two basic exercises. I mentioned that briefly and with the Lindsey Berra. You were talking about the sand dune stepper. The two basic exercises that I would like to see, and over the years I've seen be so successful,
in trying to do two things that everybody cares about. Number one, prevent injuries, strengthen all the areas and prevent problems. And number two, when indicated, when that's the goal, enhance our performance. And those two exercises, regardless of your son or daughter's sport, regardless of your son or daughter's age or level, is strengthening the feet and ankles. Rubber bands is one of my famous favorite ways to do it. The ability to strengthen very, very young age. 5, 6, 7 year olds can learn how to use rubber bands. And it could be an 85-year-old and it could be the best athlete in the world. In the beginning, you could strengthen that whole foot, ankle, lower leg complex very simply with rubber bands and include balance work, tilt boards, standing on things like the Bosu, standing on unstable surfaces like the sand dune in order to strengthen all of the stabilizer muscles that help us land and change direction and run and jump and protect the joints, muscles as best we can. So those two basic exercise groupings I recommend to be included in your son or daughter's exercise program, not to the exclusion of other types of exercises they might be doing. If there's a concern I have with the teens playing multiple sports, it's many times off sport. There might be too much running and jumping done for training, and we start just dealing with too much pounding. So include balance work and include some strengthening. And you go to a good physical therapist, you talk to your kid's athletic trainer, they'll really give them a great home program. Tom says my mom is 75 years old. She's a avid walker. Her feet always bother her. Any insight? Shoes and orthotics. Yeah, Tom, that's my two insights. One is making sure your mom's in the best shoe for her. Get the input of podiatry, especially if she has a history, like you're saying, of her feet bothering her. That would be one of the gold programs. Secondarily, again, has to do with shoes. Again, we can get some great insight from podiatry regarding what is the best shoe. There's so many styles. One of the biggest things we have to pay big attention to is being fit properly. It's amazing. Over 40% of the population isn't fit properly. Commonly, it's width concerns. So making sure that you're paying attention to is she comfortable in those shoes? Are they worn out? How's she breaking them down? Are the things that you really want to be paying attention to. Happy third anniversary for hashtag Hey Sports Parents. More important now than ever. It's on Amazon. Happy third anniversary. And by the way, happy belated birthday to my co-author, Sharpie Zartman. She had a birthday last week. Hall of Famer, podcast host, prolific. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.